So we looked at the Holy Spirit this morning with Matthew, and we're doing it again now just because the Holy Spirit is so important and, like Jenny was saying, so vital to our life. So we're just going to have a little look about it again. So the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? I remember my RE teacher in like year 7 or something explaining it like this. So she talked about H2O, the element, I don't know, not really sciencey, and how H2O, you can have H2O in the form of like steam like gas, liquid, and then a solid like ice, and how all those parts are H2O, but they're in different forms. And she said the Trinity is like this, that it's one God, but three persons. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So all three are God, but different persons. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is also a gift to us. Acts 1, 4-5 says, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, in university, I studied a theology degree, and I remember one lecture being on the doctrine of ascension. So I'm going to unpack this for you now a little bit. So this is how, have you ever heard people say, "Oh, do you know what? I would love to have been alive when Jesus was alive. How cool would that have been to like walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus? He was there with you as a man." The doctrine of ascension is that, you know, when Jesus died, rose again, and went up to heaven, when Jesus was a man on earth, you know, he could only be in one place at one time. So when he was with, like, Peter, he wasn't with John. And when he went up to heaven, the Holy Spirit came, so we can all be filled. We can all be filled, every single one of us, wherever we are, that we don't have to not be with Jesus if he's with someone else, but we can all have him. The Holy Spirit is for all of us. John 16 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And John 14, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper, that he may be with you forever." So the Holy Spirit, we can all access the Holy Spirit. Wherever we are, all of us at the same time can have the Holy Spirit. So, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? What are his characteristics? What's he like? He's often described as a helper, a comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener. But what do all these words mean? And if he is like that, how does that actually affect our life? What does that mean for us if he is like that? So we're just going to have a little look at a few of the Holy Spirit's characteristics and what that can mean for our life. So, number one, the Holy Spirit makes God real to us. It's the Holy Spirit who kind of reveals God's love and joy and purpose and peace and hope and all that. Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." It's the Holy Spirit that reveals God to us. Have you ever found that, like, when you're worshiping, you feel really, like, connected with God? It's, you know, in the car when you're singing along to a song, it's so different to when you're actually worshiping. You're actually talking to someone, praising someone, you're connecting. Or if you're ever reading your Bible and a verse just jumps out and really speaks to you or comforts you or speaks to your heart, that's the Holy Spirit working in us and revealing God to us. The Holy Spirit is the person who, like, makes our faith exciting. It, you know, our faith isn't just something we go to or like a religion or a tradition, but it's who we are. It's something we are, not something we do. And that's the Holy Spirit that makes faith, like, real and exciting. Psalm 51, so in the Old Testament, there's a story about King David, and we did a series on King David, and you can go and listen to it, but there's, you know, King David was anointed as king, and there's a time in his life where he sinned and had like an affair with Bathsheba, and he cries out to God in Psalm 51 and says, "Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." He like cries out, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me," because the Holy Spirit is something that we long for, something that we really, a person we really want in our life, and he cries out, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." And when we're living life with the Holy Spirit, we start to see the evidence of his work in our life, in our lives. And these are called the fruits of the Spirit. So Galatians 5 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now the other day I was scrolling through Instagram, and one of my friends posted this picture. What a beautiful world it would be if people had hearts like dogs. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a lover of dogs. So when I saw this, I was like, eh? If people had hearts like dogs, surely we'd all be like laughing about in water and, you know, wanting a bone and all that. But it made me think, I'm not sure if the world would be a better place if we all had hearts like dogs. But what I do know is the world would be a better place if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You imagine a world where people are full of love and joy and peace, where they're patient, where they're kind to one another, where they're faithful, self-controlled. You imagine a world where we're all living that. So walking with the Holy Spirit should be a strong desire for us. Okay, number two, the Holy Spirit fills us with power. Acts 1 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So when we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're filled with his boldness. Acts 4 says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So there's that story where all the disciples are up in the upper room and the Holy Spirit comes and they all get filled, and then they go out and Peter preaches to a massive crowd and 3,000 people come to know Jesus that day, and the Holy Spirit fills him with like boldness to go out and do that. And the Holy Spirit does that with us. He fills us with boldness and power to tell our friends about Jesus and all the amazing things he's done in our life. But not just to speak, the Holy Spirit also fills us with the power to be more like Jesus. So when we look at the Bible and we think, okay, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? Jesus healed the sick. He raised people from the dead. He was kind. He was compassionate. He looked out for people on the outskirts of society. He, you know, turned the other cheek. All those things, what Jesus did and said, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live like that and to also do that. The Holy Spirit gives us power not to sin and resist temptation. You know the story where Jesus goes into the desert and he's tempted by Satan. And, you know, Satan says, turn this rock into bread or jump off and the angels will guard you and all this kind of thing. You know, Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, so he's able to resist that temptation. And that's the same for us. I was talking to Gret about, she was telling me a story about when she worked in a cafe. And it was a really, really tough environment. It was really difficult. And how she said that every day before her shift, she was praying, like, Holy Spirit, help me, strengthen me. She said she literally felt strengthened from within, that she could do the shift, she could live a godly life, she could tell people about Jesus. And there was the Holy Spirit that strengthened her and helped her in that situation. Okay. Number three, the Holy Spirit is a guide and a teacher. John 14 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit helps us to live a godly life. You know, we're filled with the power to do it. He directs us. The Holy Spirit also nudges us and gives us an awareness of our choice to sin. I remember when I was in a youth group and the youth leader said, a good way of knowing whether you should or shouldn't do something is imagine that your actual dad is in the room with you. So imagine, you know, you're at a party and, you know, it's underage drinking or something. Obviously, I was a teenager when she was giving this example. You know, would you, with your dad standing there, would you accept the drink? And, you know, it's the good thing to think, oh, well, I probably wouldn't. And she said, well, that's the same because it's your Heavenly Father watching. And like, it's almost like the Holy Spirit is like that kind of thing in us as well, that the Holy Spirit is always with us, always guiding us and helping us. When I was in university, there was about 30 of us in my class, and we were all like 18, 19. But there was one mature student who was a bit older, and she'd always sit at the front, and she'd always have an answer to everything. And everyone just found her a little bit annoying. She was just one of those people. And, you know, over time, you know, often the class started to, like, make a bit of fun of this lady and started to say, oh, did you hear what she said? And did you notice when she said that? And I noticed that I started joining in because I felt like, because she was a mature student, I felt like it wasn't like my friend. I didn't feel like I was like gossiping about my friend behind their back because she wasn't my age. I was almost like she didn't count. I remember one day, after a couple of times, the Holy Spirit just really convicted me. I like really felt, oh my goodness, what am I doing? I'm like joining in with my housemates, gossiping about this lady. And it's really not right. It's not kind. It's not how God sees it. It's not a good example in front of my friends. And just felt really convicted that this was wrong. So it wasn't like a big exposure of my sin. It's not like everyone found out. But I just really felt the Holy Spirit convict me. Like, no, this is actually wrong. And the Holy Spirit does that to us. He guides us. He helps us. He convicts us. And it's like a kind thing. In the Bible, it says that fathers discipline their children when they love them. It's the same kind of thing. Okay, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our faith. He helps us to pray. He helps us to connect with God. Have you ever found that on occasions, like, you don't know what to pray, you don't know what to say, and sometimes, like, the Holy Spirit may direct you to pray for someone, or you may pray in tongues and you feel like connected with God and you're able to pray? Or sometimes the Holy Spirit, like, directs us to make a decision. So James was telling me about, before he came to university, what uni he should choose. And the Holy Spirit really directed him strongly to Swansea. And he felt really guided by the Holy Spirit to come to Swansea. So the Holy Spirit can direct us. The Holy Spirit also gives us gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, gives a message of special knowledge. To another, healing, ability to perform miracles, ability to prophesy, ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit or of God or from another spirit. Speak in unknown languages, so speak in tongues, interpret. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, it's coming up to Christmas. I know Christmas isn't about presents, but I really love presents. And I was just thinking about a time when I quite like mascara. That's just something I like. And when I used to come home from uni or a long trip away or something, sometimes my mum would buy me a little mascara and put a little bow on it and place it on my pillow. And I'd, like, walk in after being 8 hours on a train. I'd walk into my bedroom, dump my stuff, and on my pillow I'd be like, oh, it's a nice little gift. And it's just that thoughtful little present that I just really liked. And I was just thinking that, like, God is incredible. Like, not only do we have salvation, not only are we forgiven for our sins, you know, Jesus died to forgive us for our sins, so there's not a barrier between us and God anymore. We can have a relationship with God. So not only do we have a relationship with God, does he give us hope and peace and purpose and joy, also he gives us gifts. I love gifts. Like, it's amazing. Like, how good is God? So these gifts that the Bible is talking about, you know, the Bible says eagerly desire, especially the gift of prophecy. With prophecy, we can hear from God. We can hear directly from him. We can encourage each other, build one another up. With the gift of tongues, we connect with God. We can really, like, connect with God in an unknown language we don't know, but we know we're really connecting with God. And Julian did a talk on this a few weeks ago on, like, speaking in tongues and prophecy. So I'd encourage you to go on the website and listen to it, because it goes into way more detail. But that's really good. In the 2012 Olympics, the British cycling team won 70% of the gold medals, and they also won the Tour de France, which I think they've never done before. And a lot of people say that this, all these wins were down to their new performance director, Dave Brailsford. Now, Dave Brailsford had this idea about marginal gains, and this is about finding the 1% margin of improvement in everything you do. So they, like, looked at the bikes, and they thought, okay, take all the bike apart and think, how can we improve this bike by 1%? So they looked at the tires and the seat and how streamlined it was, all this kind of thing, and improved the bike by 1%. And they thought that overall, that would make a huge difference. They didn't stop there. They also looked at the team themselves. They thought, how can we improve the cyclist team's lives by 1%? So they did things like, when they were training all across the world, they would fly their mattress and their pillow to wherever they were staying so they'd get a better night's sleep. They would take, like, furniture from their house and put it in their hotel rooms so they'd feel more at home. They all had, like, watches, and every 15 minutes they would bleep, and they'd have to, like, wash their hands, and there was a certain way to wash it so then they're more hygienic, less ill, better performance. So they, like, literally broke down everything they did and improved everything by 1%. And I kind of feel like this is a little bit like the Holy Spirit. So for all of us, there's a moment in our life where, whether we've grown up in a Christian home or whether we decide, there's a moment where we decide to follow Jesus. And we then, you know, continue to grow and develop and become more like Jesus. The rest of our life is to become more like Jesus and learn more about him. And the Holy Spirit kind of does that 1%, not just 1%, but kind of does all those little tweaks in all our life. And you imagine with the Holy Spirit working on every area of our life, you know, the British cycling team got 70% of gold. Imagine what our lives would look like with the Holy Spirit working on every area. Imagine like the overall effect on our life. So tonight we're going to get the opportunity to have, you know, a bit longer time of worship and the chance for, we've got like the elders and small group leaders who have said they're going to like pray for us, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Or if you're sat here and you're thinking, do you know what, I'm not sure I've ever actually been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then tonight's your opportunity to have that. And we're going to pray for you. But before that, we're just going to sing and worship again. So why don't the band come up? Why don't we stand and I'll pray. Yeah, Holy Spirit, thank you for all that you do in our lives. And we just welcome you here now. I pray that you fill us and help us to connect to you in worship now. Do a work in our hearts and our lives now, Holy Spirit. Amen.